on Sports Radio 960 The Ref. All right, it's a morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Certainly great on the dedication Saturday for Coach Dooley that this was the song they played. Absolutely love it.
It was a great ceremony. It was as full of class as I would have expected. Loved all those former captains circling the G. It was just well done. And now we will...
Indeed.
It's going to take a minute to get used to saying Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, but that'll come very quickly.
Like it. Certainly like it. Dogs in Arkansas State coming up on Saturday. A noon kickoff, and we'll have it for you here on The Ref. Bring in one of the hardest working men in the business.
That's a fact.
Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. And the reason I say that is because I mean it. Logan, I ran into Brandon coming in on Saturday, and he was lugging all the equipment for the show.
You know, I've been curious how he keeps that physique, but now I know.
That's right. He had his son and his wife with
him.
There you
go.
And Brandon's such a nice guy. I even offered to try and help lug some of the equipment. He said, "No, sir. Will not have that."
He's a man of independence.
And it was only 98,000 degrees too. So, hey, Brandon, how are you this morning?
Yeah, my daughter. You know, she decided she didn't want to come. She thought it was. She thought it was going to be too hot, so she may be the smartest one of all of us because she decided it was going to be too hot for her in Athens that day, so she stayed home. And I don't mean to hijack the conversation, but I did want to mention this one thing. I was really surprised coming off of Saturday how many people, not necessarily big Georgia fans, but just people that I would have thought would have known better, didn't realize that James Brown had done the Dooley's Junkyard Dog song for Coach Dooley back in the mid-70s when the song, you know, kind of first came out. I mean, you know, in the time that that happened, that would be like I'm assuming anyway, somebody else can maybe educate this better than me, like a Drake or a Jay-Z or some big, you know, music figure doing a song for Kirby Smart today. I mean, that was a big deal when it happened. I'm surprised at how many people only found out about the Dooley's Junkyard Dogs because of hearing that song played at the ceremony. So if nothing else, there was a little education being, you know, taking place for the fact that a lot of folks found out that the Godfather of Soul was a supporter of Coach Dooley.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. That's a great analogy or potential analogy is taking one of the hottest stars of today and doing a song about Kirby. It is very comparable and just part of what made the whole day Saturday and the whole situation in itself
well,
so cool.
We kind of have that. It's Kendall Milton's cousin that wrote the song about the Georgia Bulldogs. So we're good.
Okay.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Very good well stuff. Said. But hopefully your wife and son did not melt on Saturday, Brandon.
No, they had a good time. And, you know, it's one of those things of I do have young kids, and so it's a little bit hard because I am working. My wife has a hard time, you know, corralling two kids all Saturday long, keeping them entertained. So they typically pick a game like that, like a Murray State from Saturday. You know, for some people, that might be Arkansas State this Saturday. You know, some of the more intense atmospheres like we expect to have 2 weeks from now when Notre Dame comes, you know, that's not necessarily the kind of thing we take our young kids to. You know, no judgments for anybody who does, but that's not necessarily what we take our young kids to, but the Murray State, that's a little bit more their speed.
I was going to ask you, I enjoyed your conversation on Dog Nation Daily yesterday. I'd like to ask you to continue it for a moment here. It is a tough sell, as you put it, for a noon kickoff against a team, and no disrespect at all to Arkansas State, but like you just said, it's not Notre Dame. It's not a big-time SEC opponent. Dave and I have had conversations this last week or so that we don't blame fans that maybe either leave at halftime or just don't come to the game. But that being said, Brandon, as we all know, there's a lot of Saturdays in June, July, and August that we would give anything to go between the hedges and watch the Georgia Bulldogs. So not sure what to expect this Saturday in terms of crowd.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say that, you know, some football is better than no football. I think the source of my frustration to the extent that I have any is there's this great anticipation for the start of the season and being on the road in the SEC in a great destination town like Nashville. There's great excitement for that. You know, the following week, it's the Dooley Field dedication. It's the first game between the hedges. And, you know, nobody really cares if you're playing Murray State because got enough trappings to kind of sell the event with all the stuff around the game. And then week three, to kind of now have to, you know, build back up a little bit of extra hype into a game for, you know, versus Arkansas State, which is legitimately better than some of the, you know, more lowly,
right,
nondescript teams that you might play this time of year. They're a little bit better than that, but it's still, let's face it, not an SEC game, not a high-profile non-conference, you know, opponent. The fact that now, you know, 3 weeks into the season, it almost feels like we're actually ramping down the energy of the season. You know, that for me is a little bit of a disappointment, but it's not a criticism of Georgia because we're only a couple of years away from a pretty aggressive non-conference schedule kicking into gear, and some of this isn't just related to Georgia, Arkansas State, but if you really look around, I mean, it's Alabama, South Carolina, it's Kentucky, Florida, and that's about it for this week. You know, even the national landscape, there's, you know, a lot of these, you know, really cool non-conference games that we see week one, week two, those are over, at least until Georgia plays Notre Dame next week. You know, this is kind of that lull before the meat of conference, you know, play begins, and 3 weeks into a season, I wouldn't mind just seeing a little deeper crop of games than what the country provides. The next few years, I think that's going to change. But for right now, admittedly, this is kind of a soft opening to the 2019 college football slate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I guess it's hard to ensure that there's going to be three or four great games every week, but this is just one where you could even look at the schedule maybe even a little bit last year and say, all right, we might have a snoozer coming up on the weekend of September 14th. But I always like to say this, too. That doesn't mean there won't be plenty of drama this weekend. You just don't quite know where it's going to come from. So hopefully it's not Athens, Georgia. Hopefully it'll be a stress-free game. The Dogs will take care of business and then turn their attention to Notre Dame. Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily joining us. You can hear Dog Nation Daily every Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Brandon, we saw probably some guys on Saturday against Murray State that we may not see again for a while as far as, you know, letting them play and not burning a red shirt. What were some of the takeaways you had from Saturday and maybe some of the players that that caught your eye?
Well, let me talk about the two obvious names first, then I'll try to work my way down the list a little bit. You know, I'm always self-conscious about being careful not to overhype something on the basis of just a small amount of evidence, and there would be a temptation to do that when it comes to George Pickens. However, here's what I'll say about Pickens. He was targeted a good bit during the Vanderbilt game in his first ever college game, which lets you know that he's heavily in George's plans. And when you see some of the stuff that he did this past Saturday, you know, the athleticism that he shows in some of the catches, I mean, this is not just, ooh, Pickens may be a special wide receiver. This is also, and I know that the three of us have talked about this a lot, this is also George's big need, I believe, is to really establish that dominant target at the receiver position. All the national champions in the college football playoff era have all had go-to, big-time, high-production receivers. Georgia, for the most part, hasn't had that. Now, they've had guys that have gone on to the NFL, but in terms of putting up big numbers while in college, in the Kirby Smart era, that's not been the case. Pickens, though, is the best receiver recruit Georgia's had in a long time. I'm not saying he's the next A.J. Green, but he's the best receiving prospect Georgia's probably had since A.J. Green. And, you know, to see him show some flashes of that, I think is really exciting. Nolan Smith, you could say some of the same kind of stuff about him on defense. I think he's changed the tone of this entire unit. He's brought a lot of, I think Azeez Ojulari used the word juice. He's brought a lot of juice to that defense. That's probably a good way to describe that. And then one more thing I'll say quickly at the risk of going on too long. I am a big believer in Trayvon Walker's talent, but I'm very skeptical of freshmen making a huge impact along the defensive line because there's just not a long history track record of that within the SEC. But Walker's played a good bit through two games, which gives you an idea that he's probably not the typical freshman. That, to me, is a really exciting thing because he's obviously leaps and bounds the most athletic defensive lineman Georgia has. The fact that they've trusted him enough through two games to play him as much as they have, I think that's a great sign as well. This is a team right now getting a pretty good contribution from its freshmen. Now, David, as you said, there are guys who played on Saturday we may not see for a while, and you know Kirby's smart to get them in when he can. But some of those other freshmen, I believe, are going to be seeing a good bit in the games that really matter. And by the time those come around, including two Saturdays from now, these guys are going to have a little bit more seasoning on them.
You mentioned Trayvon Walker. I believe you and Matt Stinchcomb earlier this week talked about this. There was a moment on the field against Murray State where a play had been made. I forgot exactly what happened, but you look up and it's N'Kobe Dean, it's Nolan Smith, it's Trayvon Walker, all sort of high-fiving each other on the field. 3 5-star true freshmen on this team, and certainly that gives Georgia fans a very good feeling of what's to come, and let alone maybe this year even. All those guys could very heavily contribute as true freshmen. But this is just the fruits of the labor of recruiting and stacking classes, and we have no reason not to be over-the-top excited right now about that.
Yeah, listen, you know, this is a talented defense, and the moment I think you may be referencing, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong on this, when Nolan got his sack, his first one, I want to say that Trayvon Walker was just, like, right behind him, and, you know, had Nolan not been there, maybe Trayvon, you know, could have got that himself. So that gives you an idea of how active he is. But also with a lot of these young guys, I mean, this is a Georgia defense that even without these freshmen is pretty talented. But, you know, last year it was a group that was good at not giving up big plays, but not that dynamic at the backfield. One of the cool things about the young players who are playing right now is they give Georgia a chance to just be more impactful, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, tackles for loss, sacks, all those things, havoc plays, all those things that, you know, we obviously spent an entire offseason talking about it. It's kind of interesting to see how young guys, and I'll add the redshirt freshman Azeez Ojulari into that discussion too. It's really interesting how much young players are leading the way for Georgia in that regard, which I think that makes it a little easier to sell Arkansas right. State on Saturday, because it's another chance to watch and see if these young guys can maintain the momentum that they seemingly established last week.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, I was going to say, I made this analogy, and tell me if this is fair or not, and it's a lot of major, major shoes to fill. I was talking to somebody yesterday, watching Zamir White run these first couple of games, a lot of those yards after contact, the way he sort of just lowers his head and goes, it's bringing back a lot of flashes of 2014 when a young man from Cedartown, a true freshman, Nick Chubb, was running the ball. Is that a fair analogy? I know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the next 4 years or 3 years will be exactly equal, but he looks a lot like number 27 did carrying that ball very young.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting comparison. I've seen some photos side by side that, you know, could certainly make you think that you're looking at Chubb. Now, you know, Chubb in his freshman season 2014 also had, you know, games where he carried the ball more than 30 times. Luckily for Georgia in 2019, Zamir White or any other running back won't be asked to shoulder the load quite as much as Chubb was then after Todd Gurley left the field initially because of a suspension and then because of an injury. So that's the one thing that's different. But I watched Zamir White when he walked through the dog walk on Saturday, and I kind of remarked on our video broadcast that we were doing that I believe that was I say this half kiddingly and half serious. That was the first time I've ever seen him smile. You know, he kind of walks around with this very intense scowl on his face. He brings a real toughness. You know, he has the look of a tough football player. He plays that way as well. And that's part of, I think, the energy that he's brought to the offense is, I mean, he is clearly there to send a message every time, you know, he runs the football. You know, you made the comparison to Nick Chubb. There's a certain Elijah Holyfield type, comparison there too, because Holyfield seemed to seek out contact. He seemed to like that. He liked bouncing off of would-be tacklers, and you know, I think that Zamir's got some of that going on too, which is kind of a cool thing.
Brandon, if you don't mind, before we let you go, we've had some conversations today with some other people. Today is 9/11 that we're sort of remembering things, whether it's sports related or not. If it's completely up to you, if you don't mind, just share where were you 18 years ago today, and what are your, you know, recollections on this day?
Well, I'm obviously, you know, like everybody else, I remember how shocked I was when I first, you know, heard the news, and it was probably a couple hours later because I'd been, you know, busy and doing some things and not paying attention to news, and then when you become aware of it, obviously you're transfixed on the news for, I mean, I think I felt like I watched news for 48, 72 straight hours, yeah. And almost seeing the initial aftermath of this, but I'll also add real quickly, you know, I was lucky enough to be in Knoxville for what became the Hobnail Boot game for Georgia and Tennessee in October of 2001. And one of the things I think gets lost to time because of the Larry Munson call and the David Green to Verron Haynes throw. And, you know, that's one of the great memories for Georgia football. But in the time, that moment definitely happened with the cloud of 9/11 still hanging well over it, you know, there was a lot of patriotism on display in Neyland Stadium that day, and the customary post-game stuff from the Red Coat Band featured a lot of patriotic music. It's easy to forget this, you know, all these years later, because that's become an iconic moment for Georgia football. But in the moment, that win, I think, made a lot of Georgia fans feel like there could be a return to normalcy for life in general at some point, because in between September 11th and early October 2001, life felt anything but normal. So much the same way like the 2001 World Series between the Yankees and the Diamondbacks was kind of a national version of that. I think for a lot of us who were Georgians, the Hobnail Boot game was kind of a permission slip to feel like we were still living the same life that we had been living before September 11th, 2001. So, you know, when I think about September 11th, I do think about the, you know, the tie-in with Georgia football and just how much that specter of that event, that tragic, terrible event, was still hanging over us when Georgia went out and had one of the greatest wins that the program had ever had.
Also, not that this means anything, but a little bit ironic, Georgia opened that season with Arkansas State, and here we are getting ready to play Arkansas State here on Saturday as well. B.A., I guess what, it's Mike Griffith Wednesday for you. What else you got cooking?
Yeah, we'll talk to Mike Griffith here today, and I want to take a little bit of a deeper look at the Georgia pass rush, the Georgia defensive line, kind of how those groups are coming together. You know, I think that's one of the real bright spots through two games, and you'll say, well, it's not the greatest competition, and that's probably true, and yet I think it's still a pretty big improvement for Georgia overall. We're going to try to dive a little deeper into that today.
All right, so let me get this right. If number four is a stock, you would be buying. Is that what I'm saying?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Trying to invest in that blue chip as much as I can.
I hear you. Thanks, Brandon. We'll look forward to hearing from you later on today.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily and the carrier of Dog Nation Daily equipment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.